we are concluding our sermon series this week where we've been looking at divine encounters. We're going to read from John chapter 20, the story of the first person to encounter the risen Jesus. And consider that in our own context today. If you have a Bible, please turn with it to John 20. You can find it on your phone or just follow along on the screen. John 20, starting at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. This is an aside. The suspicion is that this is John who wrote it, and so he doesn't use his own name. I would have thought it was be humble, but when he says, the one Jesus loved, maybe not so much. Anyway. She came running to one Jesus loved and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter. Again, just one of those little things. I wonder if there was something going on with John and Peter. But anyway, the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers, and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he said these things to her. I just want to take just a couple of minutes to reflect on a couple of things that we see in this passage. The first, let me just ask, how many people have celebrated Easter before? How many have celebrated it at least 40 times? I won't go higher than that. To us, Easter is this common occurrence. Once a year, we have the celebration and we sing the songs and he's risen. Okay, we all know to say it, and like, it's like this expected part of the calendar. And we can forget, because we do it year after year after year, we can forget that the resurrection is unexpected. There wasn't any of them that anticipated this reality. Because death was real. He actually died. And just, you don't need to show your hands, out of curiosity, how many of you expect that loved ones in your life who have died remain dead at this point? Like, that was the expectation, that death was real and that was the end. They came filled with grief in the morning to find something that was completely not what they anticipated. I think it's important for us to think about that, because we can get so used to the idea that Jesus is alive that we can actually sometimes forget that he actually died. That this wasn't the way the world worked. up until this point. One of the things that I've noticed in our world, and I think I see it in the church a lot too, is we try to avoid death rather than lean into the resurrection. We avoid the things that go with death. We avoid struggle. We want to avoid pain. And it's not bad to try and avoid those things. I mean, Jesus, before he was arrested, agonized in the garden, saying, "Please take this from me." So this isn't a criticism of not wanting to die. But it's easy to get so focused on avoiding pain and avoiding struggle and avoiding death that we forget that without actual real death, there is no resurrection. And resurrection is the ultimate hope. We as Christians believe in something that still is unexpected, that still sounds kind of crazy. You know, we talk a lot about life after death. You know, where does somebody go when they die? But the Christian hope is this crazy thing called resurrection. Something that's, like one professor used to call it, life after life after death. Like that there is this life after death, but the hope is something completely unexpected. It still sounds crazy to say it out loud, but resurrection is real. And Jesus showed up in a completely unexpected way. If we get nothing else, just remind ourselves that Jesus actually died and actually lived. Actually lives. And when he came back to life, when he resurrected, he didn't resurrect and then continue with the agenda they thought he had before. Again, they thought they had before, where it was all about Israel. It was all about making them great. He continued with the agenda he had before, which was coming and meeting those who needed him the most, the ones who were vulnerable, the ones who were in pain, the ones who recognized and lived in the reality of the brokenness of the world. Those who live in denial of death can't really embrace the hope of the resurrection. You know, people who ignore the reality of pain and struggle can't really lean into that hope that is to come. That's why some of the people that you find that can be the most joyful, the most optimistic, are sometimes those people who have gone through the deepest levels of pain. Because they're leaning into something beyond that. As long as you think you can avoid death, avoid struggle, avoid pain, why do you need the resurrection? Those of us who have gone through the darkest valley, who have lived through the worst of human reality, it can be hard to believe in the resurrection, but once we see it, that's the thing that we can hold on to. That death is not the end. This pain is not the end. The struggle is not the end. There is hope on the other side of the worst of things. And I wonder how often we miss out on the beauty on the other side of things because we're fighting so hard to just not go there, to not name it. You know, we say, I'm going to go there. Oh, I shouldn't do this. We say things that are half true. Like, you know, well, they'll live on in our hearts forever. And there is that element of that memory, and we do hold on to that memory of people that we have loved. But I wonder if not acknowledging truly the depth of loss that we experience, that we go through, the depth of pain we have, we lose out on leaning into the actual hope that Easter declares. That there is resurrection coming. Not just some nice memory, but the real living resurrected people. That Jesus, it says he was the first fruits of the resurrection. And those who are in Christ are going to rise from the dead. We can hold on to that true hope, not just a sentimentality, but a reality that is to come because he is alive. He really died and he really lived. To say that death is not the end. And I love the fact that this first encounter was with Mary. Because she had lived through the worst of brokenness. She had been made the victim by powerful people. She had lived through the worst of life. And she had found in Jesus all the hope that she wanted, all the care. She's the one who had literally given all of her wealth to wash his feet. In the story that happens not too far before his arrest. She had given everything to follow Jesus, no one would have felt the reality of his death. Other than his mom, I think. Nobody other than her would have felt the reality of his death more. And so it's this beautiful picture that she comes and she's just agonizing in the garden. Just wanting to hold on to that sentimentality almost. Like coming to visit the grave and just, if I can just hold on to this reality of him, even though he's dead, if I can just hold on to this, and she's the one who experiences his life truly for the first time. And it comes, the realization comes when he says her name. This beautiful image where she is, again knows that she is seen and honored and loved, but this time not just by some teacher, but by the resurrected Jesus. I love this image because it reminds us that Jesus' resurrection, it's a personal life that we are invited into with him. The resurrected Jesus meets her personally, says her name. Some of us need to be reminded that Jesus' life is not just for us. It is for us. We need to know that. But it's for you. He says your name. He comes to you, inviting you into this life. It's a personal reality that you are invited to know. You're invited to encounter him yourself. If you want to, I just invite you to close your eyes. Imagine yourself grieving the loss of the one who loved you most and hear him say your name. How do you feel in that moment? All of the hopes that had been shattered are now back, but so much bigger than they ever were before because the impossible has happened and you are a part of it. You are invited to know the one who was dead and is now alive. And I think as we continue in this story, Jesus says her name and she turns and doesn't say she grabbed him, but the fact that Jesus says, don't hold on to me, suggests that she just wants to hold on. And anybody who has lost someone they love knows what that's like. I just want to hold on. But the one who has conquered death, we don't need to hold on. We're not going to lose them again. And Jesus says, don't hold on to me. I've not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to tell my brothers and tell them. When we encounter the living God, the goal isn't just to hold on forever. It's to meet him, receive that life, and then pass it along to others. We're invited to encounter the resurrected Jesus, join in his life, so it's something that can thrive beyond ourselves. It's good news to be shared. I do love the fact that Mary was the first one tasked with preaching the good news of the resurrection. I have great love and respect for those that believe women shouldn't be preachers, some of them, but Jesus seems to think otherwise here. Mary was the first proclaimer of the resurrection. She was tasked with going and telling them, I have seen the Lord, I have seen Jesus. With that is this news that the resurrection is not the end of the story, that there is life after death. Jesus is alive. And as they started to tell that story over and over again, that became the heartbeat of who they were. That, you know, the Roman emperor, he's going to take us and throw us into the, what was it called? The Colosseum? Okay, because we know that's not the end. And people watch these Christians walking in to face their death, singing songs of hope, and couldn't understand it until they realized that they knew the resurrected Jesus, and they knew that death was not the end. In 1 Corinthians, Paul describes, he uses a metaphor to describe their view of death. 1 Corinthians 15, he says, our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to life forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. I just want to be clear, that's the spiritual bodies. That's not just some spiritual reality, but a physical reality that is also spiritual. Just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. Again, Jesus is described as the first fruits of the resurrection. When he came back to life, he wasn't the same. That's the hope we have. That this is not the end. Death is not the end. The struggle is not the end. And we don't get there, again, by denying the reality that we live in. By wishing it away, longing it away, or I sometimes I'm tempted to try and just almost force God's hand to make things better, to make things the way I want them to be. But sometimes the way we want things to be rob us of the real beauty and glory that God has for us. Anybody ever had something like that happen where you really wanted this thing and you fought for that thing and you tried to get that thing and you didn't get that thing and you were so upset until you got what was actually on the other side and you realized how much better it was? That is the hope of the resurrection. It doesn't say that death is not bad or wrong or hard or horrible. It says it is all of those things, but it is not the end because Jesus is alive and he invites us into that life with him. That became their way of being. The first followers living and proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus. That is the invitation for all who follow Jesus to live out of the resurrection, to proclaim the resurrection. This is hard in our world. It's hard in a world that tends to emphasize how terrible things are. There's a lot of hopelessness out there. The world needs those of us who will stand in the middle of the hopelessness and say, this is not the end. It can go to the worst place we imagine, and it's still not the end. Because Jesus conquered that. Jesus is alive. That's what these first followers saw, heard, faced. And as the story goes on, Jesus appears to a number of people, showing that he is alive. Jesus eventually goes back and leaves us with this instruction. Go. Tell. Live this out. Share it with the world so that even if the craziness of the words we say doesn't make sense to people, the lives we live because he is alive will be so compelling that people will be drawn, not to us, but through us, to the one who is still alive today. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for not just the resurrection, but that you meet us as a resurrected Jesus, inviting us to know you, inviting us to hear you say our name, to be loved by you, and then to live in light of that resurrection power and that love in a world that is so often overwhelmed by sin and death and struggle and pain. God, speak into our hearts the fact that those things are not the end. Speak into our hearts that you have conquered all of that, not in a way that leaves us to avoid it, but in a way that lets us hold on to hope beyond it. God, for those who are here today, who are deep in the throes of grief and struggle and pain, may you meet them there, and may they hear from you their name, your hope, and the fact that what has brought them to this place of pain is not the end. May they lean into your resurrection and hold on to that hope. God, for those who will be brought to that place in the next days, weeks, months, year, God, may we hold on to this reminder that he is not here, he is risen. In Jesus' name, amen.